Okay, we are recording. And now I have to find the other screen so that I can share the other screen. All right, so many technical things to work out here. All right. Okay, we're back. Here we go. So the question of fasting on eating on Erev Yom Kippur. So the this is a favorite mitzvah. We love mitzvot that require us to eat, of course. And before Yom Kippur, what better time to eat than before a long fast? So let's look at the source for this mitzvah. We'll try to understand the reason for this mitzvah. We'll also try to understand the purpose of the mitzvah, how it's supposed to affect us, and the nature of the mitzvah. Is it a minhag, a custom? Is it a rabbinic law? Is it a law from the Torah? There certainly is no pasuk in the Torah that explicitly tells us to eat on Erev Yom Kippur, but we have to spend some time trying to understand what the actual nature of the mitzvah is. So let us begin. There's a Gemara in Masechet Rosh Hashanah, which you could see here, I hope. You could, Steve, can you see the source page? Okay.
Yes, good. Yes.
Okay, good. So the Gemara Masechet Rosh Hashanah on Daf Tet Amin Aleph 9a is dealing with an interesting question. It's dealing with the question of being Mosif Me Hachol Al HaKodesh, meaning adding sanctified time to non-sanctified time, starting Shabbat earlier than one has to, starting Yom Tov earlier than one has to. There's an idea of being Mosif Mehachol Al HaKodesh, from adding from the Chol, the non-sanctified time, to the sanctified time. And the Gemara is trying to understand where we learn this idea from. So the Gemara says, we're source number one, for Rabbi Yishmael, Mosifin Mechol Al HaKodesh, Mi Nale. From where does Rabbi Yishmael derive the principle that one extends a sacred period by adding from the profane to the sacred, before and after? Mi Ditanya, the Gemara answers that he derives it from which is taught, from the pasuk that deals with Yom Kippur. Where it says v'initem et nafshotechem b'tishah, which is strange. You shall afflict your soul on the ninth of the month. Now we know that Yom Kippur is not on the ninth of the month. We know that Yom Kippur is on the tenth of the month. But here the pasuk says, you shall afflict your soul on the ninth of the month. B'tishah, yachol b'tishah. Does it really mean that we are supposed to fast on the ninth? One might have thought that one must begin the fast the entire day of the ninth of the month. Talmud Lomar, Ba'erev. However, the verse also states, at night. Iba Erev, Yachol Misha Techshach. Okay, so maybe we only start the fast actually at nightfall. Misha Techshach, from Choshech, when it gets dark. Talmud Lomar, B'tisha. We haven't, but the problem is, it says the ninth. So either way we slice it, we don't know how to understand this pasuk. Are we supposed to fast the whole ninth? Doesn't seem that way, because it says ba'erev, at night. Okay, if it says ba'erev, that means maybe only once it gets dark, but we can't only start once it gets dark on the 10th, because it says on the ninth. So how do we split the difference? How do we thread the needle here? So the Gemara says, so what do we do? How do we make sense of these things? Matchil umitanet mi ba'od yom. Milamed shemosifin mechol lakodesh. Like we do. We begin the fast a little earlier on the day, before actually we're obligated to. Before the night time, before the 10th actually starts. This teaches that one extends a sacred time period by adding at the beginning from the profane to the sacred. So again, this is, we haven't got to our topic directly, but we need this for the background. Okay, so now we have this, and this is an important idea, a beautiful idea. Mosifin me'achol la'kodesh. We always add, we try to add sanctified time. We try to add kedusha. We don't want to start Yom Kippur just when it's supposed to start, or Shabbat just when it's supposed to start, or Yom Tov just when it's supposed to start. We indicate our love for mitzvot. We indicate our love for chagim, and even for something as serious and intense as Yom Kippurim by starting it early. Okay, that is what we just learned from this halacha. We do this is standard operating procedure. Now, comes along Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara asks about Rabbi Akiva. Source number two. V'Rabbi Akiva, hai v'inita v'nafshotechem betisha mai avid lei. The Gemara asks, and Rabbi Akiva, who learns that one adds from the profane to the sacred from the verse dealing with the sabbatical year, what does he do with our verse? Meaning, everyone agrees you have to add from the profane to the sacred. The question is where you learn it from. So, Rabbi Yishmael learns it from a pasuk dealing with Yom Kippur, the pasuk that we just studied. Rabbi Akiva, though, learned it from another pasuk. So then the question is, if he learned the halacha of adding from the chol to the kodesh, from the sacred, from the profane to the sacred, from another pasuk, what does he do with our very strange pasuk that seems to give us a mixed message? That we're supposed to fast the whole day of the ninth, but we're not supposed to fast on ninth because it only says we're supposed to fast when it gets dark. How does he understand this pasuk? So the Gemara tries to explain Rabbi Akiva's position. Rabbi Akiva, hi, v'initem anafshotechem betisha mai avidle. As I said, Rabbi Akiva, who learns that one adds from the profane to the sacred from the verse dealing with the sabbatical year, what does he do with the verse? And you shall afflict your soul on the ninth of the month in the evening. My avidle, what does it do with this? Mibale lichiditani chia bar rav midifti. He requires it for that which was taught by chia bar rav of difti. Ditani chia bar rav midifti, because chia bar rav of difti said as follows. Vinitem enafshotechem betisha. The pasuk says you should afflict your souls on the ninth. But then the Gemara asks the question that we're all thinking about. We don't fast on the ninth. We fast on the tenth. Ella lomar lecha, and here it is. Kola ochel v'shote batishi ma'ale alav hakatuv. Anyone who eats on the ninth, I cut off the Gemara. I'm sorry. It's as if they have fasted on the ninth and the tenth. Okay, the Gemara got cut off. Anyone who eats and drinks on the ninth, thereby preparing himself for the fast, the verse ascribes to him credit as if he or she had fasted 2 days. So we see here, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Chia Bar Difti learned that there is a mitzvah, there is an obligation to fast, to eat on the ninth. And not only is there an obligation to eat on the ninth, but if we eat on the ninth, God gives us credit for having fasted for 2 days. So that is the source in the Gemara for the obligation to eat on the ninth, on Erev Yom Kippur. We still don't know why. We still don't know what type of mitzvah this is, and there are some other details that we also have to figure out. So let's stop there for a second. I want to make sure everyone follows this and understands this. Any questions? If you have a question, I think you should be able to unmute yourself. If not, wave and I'll unmute you. Nitza, you trying to talk? Go ahead, Nitza.
It doesn't look from all those things that they tell you to fast on the ninth. He tells you to have a meal preparing for the 10th.
Well, the pasuk says, "V'initem et nafshotechem b'tish'a."
But you don't initem et nafshotechem. You just eat them.
No, initem is not eating. Initem is afflicting.
But that is not taken from any place.
The pasuk, that's a pasuk in the Torah. That's Vayikra Chaf Gimel.
That it says,
Ken, that's the problem. Yeah, exactly, Nisa. Very good.
That's
the problem. because the pasuk seems to be telling us something that we know we don't do. That's why we had to figure out what this pasuk means. So according to Rabbi Ishmael, it means mosifin me'achol ha'kodesh, and according to Rabbi Akiva, it teaches us it's as if you were it's as if v'initem et nafsho techem v'tishet. If we stop eating early,
that means we are only part of the tisha initem nafsho techem. Because you eat early, like at 4 o'clock, you eat your dinner.
That's only because we know now what this pasuk means. But you have to remember, we know this. But if you just look at the pasuk explicitly, it says v'initem et nafsho techem v'tisha ba'erev. So that's why it goes back and forth. Ba'erev, but what about b'tisha? So that's how the Gemara learns it. Okay, good question, Nitza. Anybody else? Leora?
Rabbi?
Hold on 1 second, Marilyn. I got Leora and then Marilyn.
Okay, it just doesn't seem to make sense, that's all. I mean,
What doesn't make sense?
That you are depriving yourself, that you should consider the ninth of whatever it is, the ninth day as a fasting day, if you're eating on it. And you can't eat after the ninth because then you're getting into your fast day.
Right, right, okay. So you're wondering what is this idea that it's as if we have fasted, even though we have eaten?
Yes.
Okay, good question. We'll try to get to that. Excellent, okay. Thank you, Leora. Marilyn?
I basically had the same question. If I reading this seems to me that if I eat on the ninth, that I in fact don't have to fast on the 10th.
Oh, where does it say that?
Well, it says it's as if. So if you're getting credit for fasting, it's as if you fasted 2 days. If you're getting credit for fasting on the 10th.
I think what the Gemara is saying, it's if you eat on the 9th in preparation for fasting on the 10th, then it's as if you fasted on both. But if you eat on the 10th, then I think all bets are off. I do not recommend trying that.
Too bad.
Sorry. It was a good try though, Marilyn.
Okay.
Okay. Chana?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Just guessing. Maybe it's when you do a mitzvah or whatever you do, you have to do it. Do it Hashem b'simcha. So maybe you have to eat in order to prepare yourself physically for Yom Kippur.
Okay.
And that you will be able to maintain this day with all your soul and all your might. And so maybe you have to eat in order to be able to hold yourself and to really daven and pray and do tshuva and all this. So it's, you know, reflect from the eating to Yom Kippur, just guessing, I don't know.
Okay, excellent. Excellent suggestion. Okay, so let's try to understand now the reason for the mitzvah, because it's a good... It'll help us with Leora's question as well. So Rashi says, "Hatkein atzmecha b'tisha, kidei shetuchal lehitanot ba'asara." Just like was just said, right? Just like Chana just said. So according to Rashi, prepare yourself on the ninth so that you can fast on the 10th. So here, even though it seems obvious, I think here Rashi is saying something which is rather important. And that is, well, a few things. First of all, we should prepare ourselves to do mitzvot and not just jump into them unprepared. Now, of course, it's easy to say that about fasting. It goes without saying, it's logical, even outside of a religious context, that if you're going to fast on one day, you're going to try to eat extra or make sure at least to eat on the previous day so that you don't end up fasting for 2 days. But we're also learning something else here, that this eating is considered preparation for the mitzvah, an indication perhaps that one is taking the mitzvah very seriously, which may explain Leora and Marilyn why we're given double credit, right? Fasting on Yom Kippur is a very serious mitzvah. Well, all mitzvahs are serious, but Yom Kippur is a very serious day, and not fasting on Yom Kippur is considered to be a very serious sin. So by eating on Erev Yom Kippur, on the day before Yom Kippur, one is indicating that they understand the seriousness of the day, and they want to fast, if at all possible. And so therefore, the Gemara says that God seems to be saying that, well, I'm going to give that person double credit meaning the eating itself is in preparation for the fast. I'm going to give them double credit because I see that they are taking this mitzvah very, very seriously. Now, according to Rashi, it sounds like eating on Erev Yom Kippur makes the fast on Yom Kippur itself easier. But we'll see that maybe there are some other opinions on that. But that's what Rashi says. So that's Rashi's point. Meaning, why do we fast? Why do we eat? Why is it a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur? Because we want to make sure that we're prepared for Yom Kippur itself. And again, since it's not so easy to fast, the Torah gives us an extra boost, if you will, or an extra incentive to prepare ourselves for the fast by telling us if we do, we're given a double mitzvah. Okay. Now, the Shibolei Haleket, which was written by Tzidkiyahu Harofe from Italy, right? He mentions Rashi, but he also mentions a different position, which is really interesting. He says as follows: Rabbeinu Shlomo Zatzal, that's Rashi, Perush Hachi Kamar, Hachinu Atzmechem Betisha Leinoi Hamacharat, Vahare Hi Beinai Kiinoi Hayom. Right, as we said, if you prepare yourself on the 9th for what's going to happen on the 10th, I'm going to see it, God says, as if you also fasted on the 9th. I'm going to give you a double mitzvah. Rabbeinu Yeshaya Zatzal, Peresh, Yesh lo schar al achilato, ki ilu tzaveu Hashem lehitanot tishi v'asiri v'nitan. O Yesh lomar. And now here's his reading, which is interesting. Shemepnei she'ochel yafeh be'erev yom ha-kippurim, uv'yom ha-kippurim mitaneh, kashe lo ha'inui b'yoteh. Now, this is really interesting. I've never tried this, and I'm not going to try it this year. He's arguing that by eating a lot on Erev Yom Kippur, you actually make the fast harder, whether it's because you're accustomed to food or your stomach is expecting to be full and all of a sudden it's going for 25 hours without being full, right? If you eat a lot, he says, right? She'ochel yafeh. See what he says? She'ochel yafeh. It's not just eating. You're fressing, right? You're really going for it on Erev Yom Kippur. Then it's going to actually make Yom Kippur harder. Now, if that's the case, that also explains why we get a double mitzvah. Because if by eating on Erev Yom Kippur, it's making Yom Kippur harder than it has to be, maybe twice as hard, I don't know, but harder than it has to be, then I could understand why I'm getting double schar, double reward, or double points, as if I fasted for 2 days in a row because I just made my fast harder. So this is a very interesting take by the Shibulei Haleket, Rabbi Tzidkia by Rabbi Avraham Harofe, who disagrees or offers a different opinion, an alternate opinion than Rashi's in terms of why it is that we eat on Erev Yom Kippur. Okay, now, let's move ahead and look at another position. Okay, so far we have two. One second, Mom. So far we have two opinions. One is we eat on Erev Yom Kippur to make it easier, which shows that we're taking the mitzvah seriously and we're preparing for the mitzvah, and so therefore God gives us double. Or we eat on Erev Yom Kippurim because it makes us harder, since the fast has become harder, God gives us also double. Those are the two positions. In a minute, we're going to see a third position. But first, I'll take my mother, and then Shula, and then Nitza. Okay, go ahead.
This man was way ahead of his time, because I just read an article yesterday about not stuffing yourself before a fast. You fast better if you're not so overeaten before the fast.
Okay,
so
there you go.
And that's a medical thing. He's way ahead of his, he was way ahead of his time.
His name was Rab Tzitzkia Rabbi Avraham Harofe. It could be that his doctor, his father was at some sort of doctor. I'm not sure.
When did he live?
He lived in the Middle Ages.
Oh, there you go. The man was way ahead.
He lived from 1230 to 1300.
Because I just read an article about HealthWise about fasting. Don't stuff yourself. It's not going to make your fast any easier.
Okay, interesting. Okay. Let's see. Who's next? We said Shula was next?
Yes.
Go ahead, Shula.
It seems that there is a conflicting message. We don't know whether what does Hashem wants us. Does he want us to eat a lot so we'll feel more comfortable during Yom Kippur? So it's against the idea that we're supposed to suffer. So we don't know whether.
That's good, right? It's about machloket. You're right, Shula.
He wants us to be comfortable.
This is it's a machloket rishonim, as you see, between Rashi and the Shibulei Haleket as to why it is that we fast. There's no doubt about it that even if, I would argue, that even if we eat on Erev Yom Kippurim, it's still hard to fast the entire 25-hour period, the entire Yom Kippur. So we are definitely engaging in inui. We are definitely engaging in afflicting ourselves. Yet, the machloket is, what's the purpose of the fast? Is the fast in order to make things easier, or is the fast in order to make it harder? And yeah, that's a machloket between Rashi Mishbuli Haleket, but it doesn't take away, simply by fasting, Shula, we are credited with the fulfilling the mitzvah of inui, of afflicting ourselves on Yom Kippurim. Okay. And Nitza.
Isn't it all the fasting days, like Tzom Gdaliyahu and Asara B'Tevet, you started before sunrise? You don't start
with Yom Kippurim, which is Min HaTorah, and Tisha B'Av, correct?
Okay. Now, what I'm trying to say, actually, it's much easier to start fasting after the night. You're empty, so you really don't need any food. You can start the day much, much later. And if you are anyway in shul the whole day, you are occupied, you are busy. You don't have time to think about food. So actually, they are making it much easier on you when you eat early, when you eat before the holiday, to start the fast after the food and sleep it over.
Uh-huh.
And then it's much easier for you to fast, even that you make your soul suffer, so you think, it's actually easier to fast.
Okay, although there's nothing stopping you even on a shorter fast from eating the day before too, right? Before Tzom Gedalia, you could even get up in the morning. This year, before Tzom Gedalia, which was on Monday? Monday? Yeah. I got up at 5:30 in the morning and I had breakfast.
Can eat.
Yeah, so.
That's the difference between Yom Kippurim and any other fast.
Right, but again, even with the other fast, there's nothing stopping you from eating the day before. The fact of the matter is Yom Kippurim is 25 hours, and the other fasts are much shorter. They're only 12 hours, something like that. Anyway,
It makes it easier if you stop the fast from before.
Maybe. It could be. Maybe that's what Rashi means. Okay, good. Okay, let's go and look at another interesting answer, which I really like this next answer. This is by Rabbi Yona Migurondi from Girona, Spain. He explains he gives two reasons for eating on Erev Yom HaKippurim. And they're really, really neat. First of all, he says as follows. On the bottom, where it said, where the little hand is at the end of the line, source, this is source number five. The Alkein Amru Rabotenu Zecharam Livracha Kol Akovea Suda BeErev Yom HaKippurim Keilu Nitztaveh LeHitanot BeTishi VeAsir VeTaneh Behen. Anyone who has a meal on Erev Yom Kippur, it's as if they were told to fast on the 9th and the 10th and that they fulfilled that obligation. I'll make this bigger. Ki, why? Her'eh simchato behagia zman kaparato. V'tihyeh lo la'ada al da'agato la'ashmato v'ginotav la'avonotav. The person, by eating on Erev Yom HaKippurim, is illustrating their happiness that the time of their forgiveness has arrived, right? That's what Yom HaKippurim is. Hopefully we do tshuva, and then God forgives our sins. So by eating, we're showing that we're happy that it's arrived, and it's sort of a witness, right? Al da'agato la'ashmato, that we are nervous about our sins and our transgressions. And so since we're nervous about them, we're happy that Yom Kippur comes around as a day to find forgiveness for them. So this is the, you know, people are in a good mood, they eat. I know that sometimes people are sad or depressed, they also eat. But here he's suggesting that it shows our joy in the fact that Yom Kippur is coming. Okay, that's a sort of an interesting and unique way, perhaps for some, to think about Yom Kippur, right, as something to be happy about. Many of us, sometimes I feel this way, are anxious when Yom Kippur is about to start. It's long, there's a lot riding on it. We're nervous that we may be hungry. So many things that we think about, but here he seems to be saying that by eating beforehand, we're showing we're happy that Yom HaKippurim is coming, and meaning we are looking forward to this opportunity to find forgiveness for our sins. And the second answer he gives is really, really neat. V'hashenit, ki b'shar yamim tovim, anachnu kovim suda l'simchat ha-mitzvah, ki yigdal v'yisge me'od schar ha-mitzvah al ha-simcha, kimo shenemar v'ata amcha, ha-nimtzu po ra'iti b'simcha l'nadev lach. Normally, what do we do on the Yom Tov? We eat a festive meal on the Yom Tov, right? And it shows our simcha. It shows how happy we are, right? However, umipnesha tzom biyom kippurim. The fact of the matter is, since we have to fast on Yom Kippur, nidchayvu likboa hasuda al simchat hamitzvah be'erev Yom HaKippurim. The meal that we have on Erev Yom Kippur is the same type of meal that we have on Shabbos or on Sukkot or on Simchas Torah or on Shavuos. The only difference is on Shavuos we have the mitzvah, the simcha meal, the joyous meal of the Yom Tov on the Yom Tov itself. But we can't have the joyous meal of the Yom Tov on Yom Kippur itself because we have to fast. So we got a technical problem. In order to solve the technical problem, we have this meal on Erev Yom HaKippurim. So both answers are related. Right, to the fact that that we're happy. This is actually a day of simcha. Right? This is very interesting that we eat a meal on Sukkot and on Shavuos because it's a happy day. These are yamim tovim, and so that's why we have a meal. And here, Rabbeinu Yonah is saying, well, yeah, Yom Kippur is also happy again because we have the opportunity to be forgiven for our sins. And how do we express our happiness? We have a meal. But we can't have the meal on Yom Kippur itself, so let's have the meal on Erev Yom HaKippurim. And finally, he says, third, leman nechazak laharbot tefila v'tachanunim, to give us strength in order that we could daven a lot, which we do on Yom Kippur. So far we've seen how many answers? Rashi, it makes the fast easier. Rabbeinu Tzidkia, the Shibuli Haleket, it makes the fast harder. Then we saw Rabbeinu Yonah that we do it to show our joy and to take the place, if you will, of the mitzvah meal that we cannot have on Yom Kippur itself. And finally, to give us strength so that we could daven. Rashi didn't really talk about the davening so much. Rashi says we do it so we could, k'dei shetuchal lehitanot, that we could fast. But Rabbeinu Yonah adds a really beautiful note. It's not just so we could fast, it's so that we could daven. But we want to be, we don't want to be hungry or thirsty or not feel well, because then we're not going to be able to daven with the proper kavana and participate in all of the tefillot. As we know, the Yom Kippur tefillot are quite lengthy. Okay, so that is Rabbeinu Yonah's reason. Okay, and I think it's nice. Rabbeinu Yonah introduces something which we may not have thought of before, and that is the notion of simcha on Yom Kippur. Right, we rarely think of Yom Kippur as a day of simcha, but since it is a day for us to find forgiveness for our sins, Rabbeinu Yonah sees it as a day of simcha. Therefore, it merits a Yom Tov meal, which we can't do because we have to fast, and so therefore we have the meal on Erev Yom Kippur. And now, before we talk about the nature of the mitzvah, let's look at one more explanation of the reason for the mitzvah. This is also really neat. This is by the Prisha, a little bit later, a couple hundred years later, of Yehoshua Falk. You see, he was in the Av Beit Din in Lemberg, and the author of commentaries on the tour, and he died in 1614. He says this. Hold on, I see something in the chat. I don't know what that means. Ask Rabbi Weiss. Not sure what that means.
Barry, you remember he always said Yom Kippur was a happy holiday. In his
right.
You danced and you sang.
Right.
Rabbi Weiss always thought it was a good Yom Tov.
Right.
That's okay, all I good. Wanted Thank to
you.
Say.
Excellent. Okay, good. Let's see. What's that?
So on Yom Kippur, at Yom Kippur services, you don't dance or pray, right?
Well, you definitely pray.
I mean, dance or sing.
So, no, we do. Some people dance. We definitely sing. We sing happy tunes, again, along the same lines, because even though it's serious, we're happy that we have the opportunity to be forgiven for our sins, and that's something to be joyful about. So there is a notion of joy and singing on Yom Kippur itself. Okay, let's see the Prisha. Right, we're obligated to. Where'd he go? I lost him. My source disappeared. Well, I'm going to stop the share for a second. Let's see. Okay, let me see if I can find, I have another copy of it. Let me see if I could find that one. Okay, I'll share this. I'll have to go back to the other one. But in the meantime, we'll get the Prisha here. Okay, here it is. Vitzivam, everyone see that? It's back here. Source number 6, right under Yehoshua Falk. Can you see that, Steve? Thumbs up, thumbs down. Yeah, okay, great. I'll make it a little bigger. V'tzivam sheyochlu v'yishtu techilak deshiyochlu lehitanot bo. We're obligated to eat on the ninth so that we could fast. We have Shalomar. He says, maybe the reason is as follows. Tam acher. Another reason, not just so it's easier. Shatzivoy k'deshiyan nikar v'galoy tzivoy HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shetivanu lihitanot biyom asiri. Vimatane gambit tishi imkein lo yenikar hatzivui. This is actually a really, really nice answer. If we were to fast on the ninth, then fasting on the tenth it would not be clear that we're fasting on the 10th in order to fulfill God's word. Because once people see that we like to fast, okay, he fasts on the 9th. He's on a, you know, she's on a cleanse. She's on a cleanse. She's not fasting because God said to fast. So by dafka eating on the 9th, by purposely eating on the 9th and then stopping and starting the fast, it's clear that we're doing it in order to fulfill the tzivui Hashem. It's clear that we're doing it in order to fulfill the mitzvah of God. This is also, I really think, a very nice idea, right? That there are a lot of things that we do which are mitzvot, but sometimes they're not obvious why we're doing them, right? Now, on the other hand, sometimes you don't want it to be obvious, right? I don't want to be the person who only gives tzedakah because I'm obligated to, right? I hope that I would give tzedakah and help poor people even if I wasn't obligated to. Okay, but there are some things which I want to be clear that I'm doing it because I'm obligated to. And according to the Prisha, this is one of them, right? So it's this idea that when we serve God, it should be clear that we're serving God, right? That we should do things in a way that clearly indicates to everyone who's watching that we are doing it in an attempt to fulfill one of God's mitzvot. You know, it's like we do mitzvot with purpose, or with obviously to fulfill God's will. I think that's a really, really nice idea, and something to think about just generally in our service in our avodat Hashem, right? That we do things in a way that's clear that we're doing it to serve God. Okay, I'm going to go back now to, I'm going to see if I can follow Linda's suggestion here. Go back to the other source for a minute. Let's see. Okay, oh, that worked, Linda. Excellent. Okay, thank you. Now I'm going to say, go back and we'll share the original one, and then we're going to continue. Okay, so now we have a whole long list of why we fast, to make it easier, to make it harder, to make it obvious that we're doing God's will, to show our joy for the mitzvah, to replace the mitzvah meal that we can't possibly do on the day itself, and to give us strength in order to be able to daven all day. So a lot of really nice explanations as to the nature, as to why we do the mitzvah. The question that I want to ask you now, I'd like to hear your thoughts on this, and that is this a mitzvah d'oraita, right? Is this a biblical mitzvah? Is this a mitzvah d'rabbanan? Is this a rabbinic mitzvah? Is this something else? What do you think? Put something in the chat, or you could use the raise hand function, or unmute yourself if you want to say something. You want to try to answer this question? What do you think? What kind of mitzvah is this? Mitzvah d'oraita from the Torah? Mitzvah d'rabbanan from the rabbis? Any suggestions? No takers, huh?
It looks like it's a mitzvah from the Oraita. You said it's in Leviticus. But I'm questioning who, actually, whoever wrote the Torah, Sofer Stam, maybe it just made a mistake and he chose the Chi'i instead of the
Okay. So it's a mistake that we've been living with for thousands of years. Okay.
Right.
So Nitza makes a good suggestion that it seems like it's a mitzvah de Oraita, because the Gemara learns it, the Gemara does what it always does. It has a drasha on a pasuk. There's a verse in the Torah which does not seem to make total sense if we read it in the simple way, because it leads us with this unsure practice of when do we fast and when do we eat. And so the Gemara says, let me tell you what it means. This is what God meant. God meant you should eat on the 9th. Because if you eat on the ninth, it's as if you fast on the ninth and the tenth. It's so Nitzah is saying this is a pure drasha, right? This is the Chazal explaining to us what the pasuk in the Torah means, just like they do with hundreds and hundreds of other pasukim in the Torah throughout the Talmud. Excellent, excellent answer, Nitzah. Any other suggestions? How else would you explain the rabbis if not the way Nitzah said to explain them? Okay, well, let's get to it. First, let's see how we think the Rambam rules. People have read this following halacha of the Rambam and used it to claim that a certain view that the Rambam has about this notion of eating on Erev Yom Kippur. Let's see what it says. Hanoder sheyatzum b'Shabbat u b'Yom Tov chayv latzum. Let's say someone vows that they are going to fast on Shabbat or the Chagim. They're obligated to fast. Now, normally you're not supposed to fast on the Shabbat and the Chagim, right? But someone makes a promise, a vow, a neder, that they're going to fast on Shabbat or Yom Tov. Shanedarim chalim al divrei mitzvah, kimo shebiyarnu. So vows take effect even when they involve nullification of a mitzvah as explained. There's an obligation to eat on Shabbat and Yom Tov, an obligation to have oneg and simcha on Shabbat and Yom Tov. By fasting, one is negating those mitzvot, but nonetheless, you made a neder, you have to fulfill it. You're not actively breaking Shabbat, but by not eating, you're passively not fulfilling the obligation of eating on Shabbat. Okay? Kimo Shabbat. V'chein hanoder sheyatzum yom rishon yom shlishi, kol yamav. Or another example, let's say someone makes an oath that they are going to fast every Sunday and every Tuesday for the rest of their life. Ufaga bo yom ze v'harehu yom tov, o erev yom ha-kippurim, harei zechayev latzum. So I promise I'm going to fast every Sunday or Tuesday, just like this year, it's perfect. Sunday's Erev Yom Kippur. I promise I'm going to fast every Sunday or Tuesday. And one year, Sunday happens to be Erev Yom Kippur. I'm obligated to fast. V'ein tzarich lomar Rosh Chodesh. And certainly, needless to say, this applies to Rosh Chodesh. However, pagabo Chanukah Opurim yidchem nidro. I promise I'm going to fast every Tuesday or every Sunday and Tuesday. And one year, Chanukah or Purim happens to fall out on Sunday or Tuesday. Yidched nidro. In the case of Chanukah and Purim, I push off the fast. We have a different halacha. Let's just make sure we understand the rule. If I promise to fast on Sunday, and this year Sunday is Erev Yom Kippur, even though it's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur, I have to fast. If I promise to fast every Sunday and this year Purim falls out on Sunday, I don't fast. What's the difference? Right? Why do I have to still fast on Erev Yom Kippur? And I'm not allowed to fast if Sunday falls out on Purim. Nitzah, you have a theory?
Yeah, it has to be nulled because the year before when you did the Yom Kippur, you know, Kol Nidre is gone, is nullified. Kol Nidre ve'asarei
that was last year. So after Yom Kippur, I promise I'm going to fast every Sunday, and I don't realize that this year, Erev Yom Kippur is on Sunday. So last year, I nullified my vows from last year, but now I made a new vow. So why does the Rambam say that I must fast on Erev Yom Kippur, but I'm not allowed to fast on Chanukah or Purim? It seems like it's the same. I made a promise. I'm going to fast every Sunday. Okay. So if Erev Yom Kippur falls out on Sunday, I don't need to fast. But if Purim falls out on Sunday, I don't need to fast. What's the difference? Says the Rambam.
Is any halacha against stupid nedarim?
We're not supposed to make nedarim.
Stupid neder.
That's true. But not every. Sometimes you do a fast in order to. It's not always. It's for issues of piety. Someone wants to do a little more, right? A little more than they're obligated to. So the Rambam explains what the reasoning is. Why? Mnei hayamim ha'elu hoil v'isur hatzom bahem midivrei sofrim harehen tzrichin chizuk. Ah, the Rambam says, why am I not allowed to fast on Hanukkah and Purim? Because those days are midivrei sofrim. Those days are rabbinic decree, and they need reinforcement. So therefore, I'm not allowed to fast on those days. Because if I fast on those days, people will start to take, if we know that we're allowed to fast on Hanukkah, for example, or Purim, people will start to take them less seriously, and they'll perhaps stop to observe them at all, because since they're only rabbinic, people take them less seriously. So now people learn from this Rambam, from the fact that the Rambam says that Hanukkah and Purim are dirabanan, are rabbinic, and therefore I'm not allowed to fast on them. The fact that he says I am allowed to fast on Erev Yom Kippur seems to indicate what? That eating on Erev Yom Kippur is
from the Torah.
Oraita, uh-huh. Is from the Torah. And since it's from the Torah, okay, if I'm fasting that year, no one's gonna think it's any less serious, because it's midoraita. Everyone knows it's serious. Right here, the Rambam is teaching us that when it comes to Dirabanan laws, sometimes people don't take them as seriously, and they require chizuk. So in a roundabout way, we see that the Rambam holds that fasting on Erev Yom Kippur, it sounds like it's backward logic. But the fact that I am allowed to fast on Erev Yom Kippur, if I made a promise, proves that eating on Yom Kippur is a mitzvah d'oraita. Because since it's a mitzvah d'oraita, it doesn't require extra special chizuk, it doesn't require reinforcements, and so therefore, if I fast, no one's going to think it's any less serious, right? It's like, it's the same thing on Shabbat. If a person, even though they're not supposed to fast on Shabbat, when a person does, no one's going to think Shabbat is any less serious, because Shabbat is midoraita. Everyone knows Shabbat is important. Yom Tov is midoraita. Everyone knows it's important. Eating on Erev Yom Kippur is midoraita. Everyone knows it's important. So if I promise to fast on those days, I have to. I shouldn't. But if I did, then the neder sticks. So according to the Rambam, it seems that eating on Erev Yom Kippurim is midoraita. Other people disagree and say it is not. It is not at all midoraita. I read you the Magen Avraham. Aval Erev Yom Kippurim muchach shu d'oraita. This is like Nitzah said. Nitzah's reasoning is explained here in the Magen Avraham. Eating Erev Yom Kippurim, it's clear, he says, muchach shehu d'oraita, da yalfin on mikra, like you said, Nitzah. It's learned from a pasuk, v'initem, the pasuk of where it says you should afflict yourself on the ninth. Shemitzvah lecho, and the Gemara learns from a drasha that you're obligated to eat on the ninth. Uma shekatuv, de asmachta be'almahu, tema ha'aminan biyoma v'tana de etzem, hai v'initem, my avid lay. Some disagree, and the Magen Avraham says, and they say, no, when the Gemara explains that we learn to fast from the pasuk v'initem et nafshotechem, it's what's called an asmachta, meaning the rabbi said, not Hashem, not the Torah, the rabbi said we should eat on the ninth. And in order to find some sort of hint, if you will, allusion to it in the Torah, the rabbi said, let's look at this pasuk of v'initem et nafshotechem. But it's not an explicit commandment, right? Sometimes we have something in the Torah and the rabbis don't accept that to be an explicit commandment. They say it's what we call an asmachta, an allusion to or a hint at something that the rabbi said. And in order to, like we said, sometimes the rabbinic decrees require reinforcement. So in order to make it seem a little more serious, they said, and look, there's a pasuk in the Torah that alludes to or hints to what I am suggesting. The Magen Avraham doesn't like that at all, because then we're left with this pasuk, which doesn't seem to mean anything in the way that the Gemara understands it. And so therefore the Magen Avraham says it's a mitzvah d'oraita. Just to give you some sort of closure on this, I'll show you the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch is very clear. Mitzvah lechol be'erev yom ha'kippurim u'leharbot besuda. It's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur and to eat a lot. V'asur lehitanot, afilu tanet chalom. We just saw this. You're not supposed to fast on that day. If you promised, it's a problem. The Mishnah Berura, I underlined it. Mitzvah min haTorah le'echol be'erev Yom Kippur. Interesting. Like Nitza said, it is a Torah obligation to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. It's a Torah obligation. So you have this machloket, this debate, whether the verse in the Torah is explicit or whether it's just an allusion to or a hint. But the Mishnah Berura, following the Magen Abraham, and likely, perhaps following the Rambam too, says that it is a mitzvah d'oraita. Just one other question. I'm not going to be able to get to everything. Why is it that I do not make a bracha? An additional bracha when I sit down to eat on Sunday. So now we all know it's a mitzvah to eat on Sunday. If it's a mitzvah to eat on Sunday, I should make a bracha. Not just a bracha on the food. If I sit down to have a nice tuna fish sandwich, like Charlie just had for lunch today, if I sit down to have a nice tuna fish sandwich on Sunday, so I'm going to make my sandwich, I'm going to wash, I'm going to say Hamotzi Lecha Min Haaretz, I'm going to eat the sandwich. But shouldn't there be another bracha? Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Asher Kidshanu B'Mitzvosav V'Tzivanu Al Achilat Yom Tishi B'Tishrei.
Why?
Why not? It's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah like Hanukkah can. Whether it's a mitzvah d'oraita or d'rabbanan, whether it's a rabbinic mitzvah or a biblical mitzvah, I make brachot. I light the Hanukkah candles. I'll l'adlik near shel Hanukkah. I read the Megillah. I'll mikra Megillah. I take the lulav on the first day of Sukkot. It's a mitzvah d'oraita. I make a bracha. How come I don't make a bracha? Asher kitzam tzavet zivanu le'echol be'erev Yom Kippurim. How come there's no bracha? Any takers?
Not from the d'oraita.
Well, we don't only make brachot that are on mitzvot d'oraita, right? We make brachot on Hanukkah candles. That's d'rabbanan. Purim is d'rabbanan. We make mitzvot on lots of mitzvot d'rabbanan. All right, I'll suggest two answers to you from a book that I saw listed. Quoted in another shiur I was learning from Rav Moshe Garfunkel, Sefer HaZikaron Be'er Mechokek. He says, right here where the handy dandy pointer finger is. V'hadilo kavu bracha l'mitzvat achila zo katav be'emek she'ela. He's quoting the Netziv. D'lefi tam hator v'rashi b'yoma d'mitzvat achila hu rak mishum hachana letanit. Remember Rashi said the only reason we make a bracha is to prepare ourselves be able to fast better. Im kein ein ha-mitzvah al etzem ha-achila ela sha-achila hi kachana le-mitzvah tatanet. We don't make the bracha because even though we're obligated to eat, the obligation is only in order to make another mitzvah possible. And therefore, we're not going to make a bracha on a mitzvah which is really serving another mitzvah. Right? We're, the mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippurim is to make the mitzvah of fasting on Yom Kippur easier. And so I don't make a mitzvah, he's suggesting, on a bracha. I don't make a bracha on a mitzvah to serve another mitzvah. He could also be saying that he doesn't think it's a mitzvah to begin with, but that seems like a hard position to defend. And another, that could be that he doesn't really think it's a mitzvah at all. It's what we call a hachana, a preparation for a mitzvah. And since it's not a mitzvah on its own right, it doesn't get a bracha. Although we have seen that many people do think it's a mitzvah, maybe de rabbanan, maybe de oraita, so we have this other approach. Achla sovrim de mitzvah ta'achila betishi, who gzeret hakatuv mitzad kedushat hayom. Like Nitza said, it's from the pasuk. The rabbis learn from the pasuk. Moshe katav ha'emek sheila midirei Rashi, etc. L'chora tzarich tam de lo mivarchin al mitzvah zo. So if we do believe it's a full fledged mitzvah, why don't I make a bracha? Ubisteichem, and he quotes another source. A halachic encyclopedia, Nevi b'shem echad, who delo kavu bracha miyuchedet la'achila zo mepnei shechazal lo tiknu bracha ela al davar shenikar mitoch ma'asav shoseh davar zeh machmat mitzvah. We only make brachot which are things which are obviously mitzvot. We don't make brachot on things which are not obviously mitzvot. And since everybody eats, it's not obvious that it's a mitzvah, and so therefore we don't make a brach on it. Right? We only make it machmat mitzvah asher tzivanu habarei parach kevan shetzivinu lasot davar zeh l'shem mitzvah. Right? Most people don't shake around lulav and etrog, so that's why we make a brach on it. Zek gon shetzivinu lechol matzah or maror asher b'tish tzivoy shem brach haya yachol lechol kol ma sheyirtze. On Pesach, if it wasn't that God told me to eat matzah, I could eat whatever I want. But the fact is, tells me to eat matzah, so I have to eat matzah. So I make a bracha on that. However, Masha'en kein achila b'Erev Yom Kippurim, eating food on Erev Yom Kippur, v'sudat Shabbat, right? We don't have a mitzvah, we don't have a separate bracha on the mitzvah of eating a Shabbat meal. We make hamotzi, but because that's a mitzvah to eat the challah. What about the other food? We don't have a bracha. Asher kitchen masavet tivanu al oneg Shabbos. But I'm about to eat my chicken soup. I don't do that. Why? Because everybody eats. Shalom stavinu al shum davar she nikar mitoch masav she osiz em machmat hatzibur. There's nothing special that's specifically about the mitzvah. So that's why I also don't make a bracha on the mitzvah that I'm fulfilling when I eat on Erev Yom HaKippur. Okay. That's it for today. I want to remind everyone that the Yisker packages, hopefully you saw the text about that. There are Yisker packages with Yisker candles, some Divrei Torah, as well as, the Yisker candle and some Divrei Torah regarding Yisker available in front of the shul and some other locations as well for you to pick up for those who are not going to be able to come to Yisker, even if you are able to come. We could still stay connected through using these Yisker packages. So hope you're able to pick yours up. Yes, Linda.
Yes, I have a question, not what you've been talking about, but the nights or the days when the meetings are in the tents rather than in the shul, is the building going to be open? Are the restrooms going to be open?
Yes, I think they will be.